Have you ever had a feeling that something dreadful was about to happen?
This whole premise is sweaty.
Okay, moving right along.
You gonna plagiarize the whole thing for us? Do you have any thoughts of your own on this matter?
Just remember that this thing isn't as black as it appears.
Hold on to your butt.
The only difference between me and a homeless man is his job.
I'm glad you're here to tell us.
I'm looking for the least possible amount of responsibility.
And that ain't bad.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Man's got to know his limitations.
I'm glad you came back.
In the bag.
Network.
I drink it up.
Welcome to the Bag Pod, everyone. We've got a very special edition of the Bag Pod here. We've got Alan P., Jimmy TV, and Jake Kringle. What's up, guys?
Hey, Bags.
How you doing?
No,
hey.
I'm all right. Basically, what we've got going on in this podcast is, towards the end of last week, we had a nice, epic email chain going on where we were discussing great 90s action movies, and so we figured, why don't we do a couple lists of our top five 90s action movies? But there seemed to be multiple discrepancies on what we felt deserved to be considered an action movie, what was in a completely different genre altogether. So we decided to have this little podcast cast to line up our criteria for what we think not only makes a good action movie, but what should be considered in the action genre and what should be considered in a different genre.
Bags, it kind of sounded like you just said pod crap, which is probably a good way to describe what's about to happen.
Oh, yes.
I heard pod crass, which is a good way to describe how I'm going to be doing this.
Excellent. we should mention here that Alan really enjoys him some action movies.
I do.
So he's sort of the driving force behind this entire in-the-bag epic come-together of minds. An Avengers, if you will.
I was about to go there. Are you calling me the Tony Stark of this podcast? Please?
we'll see how you perform, and then we'll give you a grade at the end. But yeah, let's kick it off here. Perhaps the first thing we should do is try to decide what exactly makes up an action movie. And when sort of modern day action movies began to exist. Because there's clearly been a sort of, I mean, nowadays action movies are just, you know, you just go to the movie, you turn your brain off, and there's a bunch of cool explosions. Whereas, you know, back in the day, if you will, action movies might not have been so explosive heavy. I'm not quite sure. So I don't know. What are we thinking here?
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking. Does anyone have a really old action movie on the list? I mean, I know we were kind of trying to stay 90s, but what's the oldest a movie that someone thought up of? I mean, I know in our email chain we kind of talked about Aliens a little bit. That was 86. Does anyone have a movie that they liked a lot more? A lot before then?
Most lists that I've ever seen of best action movies of all time generally regard Raiders of the Lost Ark as the number one action film of all time.
Was that 81?
Yeah, it was 81.
I want to say, yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, it is definitely an action movie. It's weird for me to think of it that way just because of what I grew up with. As thinking of as action movies, but I guess that'd be an old example of one.
Yeah, that would be kind of maybe one of the first examples of a modern day action movie. I mean, I can't really think of any action movies to come out before the 80s that I would consider that could hold a candle at least to some of the more recent action movies, or at least what we think of as an action movie today.
You got your Dirty Harry movies. And
like the French Connection, would that be an action movie?
That's another one that I don't really think of it as an action movie by today's standards at all, but a lot of people consider that one of the first great action movies. Also, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, kind of like a forerunner to the modern day buddy cop movie.
Okay.
But, yeah, and that's another thing about it. I think we kind of have to since we're going to be talking about 90s movies, I think a good way of looking at this is that, you know, that up until before the 80s, it seemed like cowboy movies were like the guy movies and that kind of action movie.
Yeah, and it was comedy. It was cowboy and like sci-fi sort of stuff, I would say.
Right. And
well,
then
she also had a few war movies as well, but, you know.
Sure, sure. Yeah, exactly. Like the John Wayne, the like cowboy movies and the World War II movies. And then, the 80s, I think like the new westerns were the cop movies where, you know, cops did whatever they want. They broke the law just as much as the criminals. And it was about, you know, chasing down that criminal who keeps robbing banks or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that kind of, the cop movie kind of evolves through the 80s into the 90s.
Into what we consider to be a crazy decade for action movies, if you will.
That's actually a really interesting point. I think in almost all of my movies, there's someone that's a cop or some form of one.
Yeah, I mean that was the 90s.
Yeah,
and then things action movies changed drastically after September 11th.
Yeah, that's true. Do you guys mind if I bring it back actually a little bit just to say like. Action movies have been evolving since the beginning of film,
mm-hmm.
but the movies that were considered action films back then, we would probably not think of them that way, but they were that they would elicit the same kind of reaction out of audiences
mm-hmm.
that current day, like big blockbusters would.
Yeah.
Like in the beginning, The Mask of Zorro, you know, would like a swashbuckler kind of film would be, mm-hmm. the pinnacle of action and then it would turn into the westerns, like something like The Great Train Robbery,
mm-hmm.
which is like action packed as far as, you know, old world cinema is concerned. And then from there you get the gangster, which then evolves into modern day, you know, cop and then our action films.
Yeah, I mean, when we've gone over these kind of older genres, I can definitely think of certain movies that I would maybe now classify as being action movies. Like with, I mean, I guess you could say, you know, obviously there's action parts of The Godfather and stuff like that. I would hope no one would ever put that on the action movie list or anything like that. But at the same time, there's, I mean, you know, just stuff like that.
Yeah, that's the other thing that I think will be tricky in making these lists is defining what is an action movie. Because I don't think that there are a lot of movies with action in them that I wouldn't put on this list.
I
remember when I got really upset when I was like, I don't know, 10, how old was I? Like 14 or whatever. MTV.
Yesterday.
10, 14, yeah. Earlier today.
3 weeks ago, MTV Movie Awards had Saving Private Ryan, the D-Day invasion, as like the best action sequence of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, yes, it's an action sequence, but like Saving Private Ryan isn't a movie that I would consider an action movie because the violence isn't meant to be titillating or glorified.
It's horrific. Yeah.
Yeah. There are movies that have action in them that I would not call an action movie.
Yeah, that's I've been thinking about this all day, actually. And I think the best way that I've come up to describe what qualifies as an action movie is how much action, like what if it can be described as one of the main characteristics of the film, even if it has sci-fi elements or thriller elements. If action is the driving force behind it, you could consider it an action film. Do you know what I mean? Matrix is definitely a sci-fi film. There's no question, but I'd also qualify it as an action film because there's
absolutely
crazy action in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was 14, by the way, in that story. I look at it that way too. And I also, the comparison I always make is to look at it like a musical. Musical is like, the story is going along, and then the plot gets advanced by a musical number. And I kind of look at action movies the same way, that it's the action sequences are kind of like the feature of it, the reason you go, the things that are showcased, and that they move the story along that way. And that's definitely The Matrix.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd say let's also not forget that, you know, as movies and time have progressed, we've gotten more and more genres and subgenres as well. So it's like you know, clearly there will be some movies that are maybe it's sci-fi, maybe it's action, and now it's like, you know, I would like a comic book movie is, you know, based off of comic book, has comic book tropes, but mainly those are action movies as well, for the depending on the comic, but you know, so it's kind of like as we've gone along, we've gotten many more like subgenres, whereas before we would probably only have like action, comedy, and drama or romance, you know, something like that. So.
One of the interesting things that happened with me when I was doing this, trying to come up with a list of action movies in the 90s, is while I was doing it, I was also keeping a side list of sci-fi movies in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And when I went to go to put one in action, or when I went to go put one in one of the two, I could only put it in one of the two and not both of them, to try to force me to think about what I thought the driving force behind it was. And I actually had The Matrix as a sci-fi movie because I actually enjoy as awesome as I thought the action sequences and stuff in it were. I really enjoyed the story behind. I thought there was so much more story in The Matrix. And I didn't think it was just reliant on its action sequences, which is kind of where I think I started drawing a line, is whether if a sci-fi movie made me think while I was watching it, then I classified it as a sci-fi movie. If I was watching it just for futuristic badass aliens to be getting shot up, then I classified it as an action movie.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. No rebuttal.
because I'm sure this other movie might get brought up is Terminator 2. I also left in sci-fi.
Yeah, I mean, we will get to that momentarily.
Okay.
But before, I mean, there are, like Jake was saying, Jimmy TV was saying, there are a bunch of sort of crossover, genres.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you have science fiction movies like Independence Day, which, you know, clearly it's aliens, but really, do you really consider that a science fiction movie? Because it does take place in present-day Earth with present-day technology besides the alien technology and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, you know? You have to think about it. What tradition is that movie coming from? And I don't think that that's necessarily an action film because it shares more elements with, like, the classic epics, like a Zulu or Lawrence of Arabia kind of thing. And I'm not trying to compare it as a good of movie as those might be, but the characteristics make it seem.
That movie, the intent was kind of like a return to a sort of a classic form of it. Definitely, I would think that any movie with aliens, any movie that features alien ships, I would consider sci-fi.
It's a melding of genres.
I mean, it's definitely science fiction, but I don't personally consider it an action movie of the 90s, but I can see someone saying that, and I think that there's good reason to call it a sci-fi action movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
There's definitely sci-fi action.
I'm trying to say that it has more science fiction aspects than action, but the traditions come from a different style of film rather mm-hmm. than action. I think it comes from a tradition of an epic, but it's more of a sci-fi than anything.
Okay. I mean, see, I would almost consider Independence Day as an action, more of a science fiction, just because, you know, it does.
Wait, which? You said the.
I said.
He said action, more of an action.
More of an action than science fiction. Mm-hmm. Just because when I think of science fiction, I think of fantastical worlds or like in the future, you know, like way future, like a Fifth Element sort of thing, which I would, you know, I would definitely consider science fiction because it's clearly in a very futuristic world and everything's sort of changed. Whereas with Independence Day, you could basically take the aliens out and substitute them for Country X or something, and it'd almost be the same movie minus the whole coming together of the Earth thing at the end.
But again, I think a movie that features technology that does not exist, isn't that like technically that isn't that the definition of science fiction?
Yeah, I mean that's an element of science fiction.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
The science fiction, that's another, you know, tricky genre to classify. But what I imagine is that when you can tell a story that has fantastical elements in it that aren't magic, I kind of look at that as science fiction.
So, I mean, to go back to Terminator 2, then that would clearly be science fiction for you.
Yes, but that's another movie that I would put Terminator 2 and The Matrix in the same boat. Actually, I was going to say before that those are definitely science fiction. There's no denying that.
Okay.
But both of those movies, the beats of the movie are gun battles and fist and, you know, fist fights and fights with robots. Robot fights.
So it's like Real Steel. That's why you're going there.
Really?
Yes. Terminator 2 and Real Steel are the same movie. You can quote me on that.
He would go down in the annals of history for saying that. But yeah, no, I mean, Jimmy TV, why do you feel as though Terminator 2 should be, or how do you feel like classifying it?
I guess my big difference between, again, and all these movies, we're obviously splitting hairs. They're obviously both sci-fi and action movies. And I don't think anyone would argue against that. Where I draw the line, like I said, a little bit more is where, you mentioned this earlier, I'm not sure if it was on the podcast or not, you'd go to a movie theater and you'd shut your brain off.
Mm-hmm.
So if I shut my brain off through the entire movie, I would classify it as more of an action movie. Whereas if it made me think, I guess I would kind of make, I don't know. So I guess a lot of the movies in sci-fi, if I'm using that as my way of splitting them up, would be better. But that's certainly not true, because in my list of sci-fi movies, I also have The Fifth Element, which isn't really that good of a movie. I mean, I love it a lot. Yeah. I love it to death. I have it on, my number three sci-fi movie. But I also have Stargate, and Stargate's not a good movie at all. But I enjoy the shit out of it, and I could definitely turn my brain off. So that's obviously not what I use as my, it's not definitely what I use to go between the two. It's obviously a good conversation to have. Another interesting thing that I was thinking of when I was thinking of sci-fi movies was how almost all of them involved action, especially the 90s one. I don't have one 90s sci-fi movie that didn't revolve around action for the most part.
I got one.
What is it?
Contact.
Nice. I saw that, but I didn't like it, so I didn't put it on my list. But yeah, you're right. That really crappy movie did not revolve around action.
Oh man, Mark. Nonsense!
And actually, I actually like sci-fi movies a decent amount. Two movies that came out in 2009 were District 9 and Moon. And me and Bags actually may have saw both of them together. I think we definitely saw Moon together. And Moon was just a 2001 kind of ripoff thing almost, where it's just one dude chilling in the middle of nowhere and just some shit's going down. So it's not really an action movie, but for the most part, you know, all of my big sci-fi movies, action movies, are really both like Predator. I don't have Predator on it because it wasn't in the 90s. I don't think, but Predator and Predators are definitely both action sci-fi movies. I think when sci-fi was still trying to get maybe a hold, that it really leaned on just being action movies in space, maybe.
Well, I mean, Star Wars is definitely action-packed for the most part, but yeah. You wouldn't maybe not the original, but I'd say Empire is fairly action-y, at least the first part of it.
Yeah, and so is like Dune.
Yeah, and I mean the newest Star Wars, especially, are more.
And Tron.
Tron.
Just naming 80s sci-fi movies.
Yeah, nice. But yeah, what do you guys? You guys got what else? How do you go ahead?
Go ahead. Talk. Please. Are we talking about sci-fi films or action films? I forget.
We're supposed to be talking about action, but I suppose
I got really when doing the action stuff, I got really wrapped up in sci-fi movies also. So that yes, I apologize.
Well, you know what? I think it's important topic for us. I think it was important for us to kind of analyze sci-fi too, because there are a lot of movies in the 90s that kind of live in both worlds, and we're just trying to figure out how we're going to, which of those movies should be left off any list, if any of them should be.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we have not talked about the movies that even in naming all the sci-fi movies, I did not mention either of the, I guess, two movies that would be classified as sci-fi on my list yet.
Well, I think we can at least check off that we can all agree that Terminator 2 and The Matrix are eligible for the list.
Okay. Going along that line, movies that we consider eligible to be on the lists. Two movies that I'd written down initially, and then immediately throughout when I started doing my I made my list, looked at it, saw these two movies. They stuck out like sore thumbs, and I was like, I can't include these two movies. And they were it was three movies: Jurassic Park, Tombstone, and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
As action films, you had to disqualify them.
I would not allow myself to use any of those movies.
I agree.
I would say all three of them are better than my top five action movies. Okay. Better actual movies. Uh-huh.
I agree with that, except I think I could argue that Tombstone is an action movie, but the other two, you're definitely right on.
Okay. Why? Just out of curiosity. Because, I mean, obviously I agree with you, but...
I think Tombstone, it's been a while since I've seen it, but as I remember, my impression of it was that it was a high-quality action movie, like something with a little bit more drama in it than you would expect.
Hold on. So is that what it was? That high quality? is that what the line?
No.
Well, no. My point is that it kind of along the lines of how you were saying that if a movie made you think it couldn't be an action movie. I was saying that I kind of feel like there are movies that have a higher level of drama, almost like the same way that you'd say The Dark Knight has a higher level of drama than some other comic book movies, not to say that it's not a comic book movie. And I just felt like that Tombstone had some great performances and great lines in it, but that it was still a beat-by-beat movie about gunfights and about the build-up to a big gunfight.
Which is a Western.
Yeah, that's
it's true. That's true. Right. I would agree. It's a Western, but you know, Last Man Standing, another 90s movie, was a Western, but most definitely an action movie.
But it was. And if I could take it back to the sci-fi conversation we were having, I'm sure nobody here considers Face Off to be science fiction. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I would not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Although the technology that they use is
not real,
definitely fictional.
Not exist. Oh yeah. God, I hope so.
Well,
otherwise I think I'm walking around with Bagman's face for.
But because it doesn't deal with space or anything like overly complicated, it gets qualified as action. Where do we draw the line? Oh, I silenced the podcast.
I ruined
all the listeners' experiences.
I mean, that's a good point. I would have to say maybe to define an action movie would be to almost say, okay, well, if this movie doesn't fit more clearly in a different genre, then it would be an action movie sort of thing. Whereas Face Off, you know, I wouldn't consider that a sci-fi at all, even though the main thrust of the movie revolves around this technology of taking someone's face off.
Right, which brings it back to my point, which is that the overlying aspect of the film is action and thus can be qualified as an action film rather than a science fiction. However, it has science fiction elements.
Mm-hmm. I will say that I don't know about the quality of the changing of voices that they did, but face transplants are real. They've been done.
Yeah, but they're not that good.
Well, no, not at all. But, you know, it's like Die Hard has never happened, but it could.
Fair enough.
wait, hold on. What? That was quite a leap there.
Yo, you know, you're right. It's a leap, but I'm saying that is that the distinction that you can transplant someone's face, but they might end up looking more like Edgar and Men in Black than John Travolta and Nick Cage with their clean jobs?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you also have to remember it wasn't just the voice and the face; it was their body. Like, even John Travolta had a scar on him from when his son was shot.
I do remember, and I also know that laser scar removal is a very real thing.
Right, but creating a replica of the scar on somebody else, is that a real thing? Probably.
Giving someone a scar with a laser?
Well, no, I mean, they replicated the... I'm pretty sure they replicated the scar on... help me out. Nicolas Cage's character, when he becomes... the other John Travolta's character. I can't remember his.
Well, we don't actually know that because we didn't see his procedure.
Yeah, that's true. I guess the technology is more grounded in reality. I just thought it was an interesting point to bring up.
You're right. I was just kind of being devil's advocate by saying that they didn't stretch technology that much, but you're right that it begs the question of, because I said before that if a movie has technology in it that doesn't exist, I would kind of automatically call it sci-fi. And you bring up a good point that I'm sure that we could think of other movies that did something like that, that we could say, well, you wouldn't call that sci-fi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So what would you guys qualify as a good action film?
Well, one of the big things when I was going through my big list of action movies that I initially written down, one of the big ones that chopped off a lot of like half my list off was when I asked myself if I turned the channel on this movie right now or at any moment, would I immediately stop or would I immediately take mental note of what channel it was so I could come back to it later? So rewatchability was a big one for me, I guess. Yeah.
So a good action film is something that you can waste a Friday watching TNT.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever channel it may appear on.
Yeah. So yeah. Our conversation just turned into scatting.
Yeah, there it was. What I was gonna say along the lines of the TNT thing is, action movies, I would say, are ones that you can easily flip the channel to for, like, you know, you flip it to it and it's like, oh, this is on, all right, I'll put it on. And then, like, you'll watch it for, like, 5 minutes and you'll be able to know exactly what's going on. You know, you won't have to really worry about having missed anything beforehand besides more action stuff. And then it's also...
If you had never seen the movie before, obviously.
Yeah, and then it's also equally... as important as, like, once you've seen the little part that you wanted to see, you could easily flip it off as well without feeling too emotionally invested, I suppose. I would say that it would make a good action film, for me at least.
For me, what I noticed was the through line of all the movies that I chose for the most part is that I liked movies of the 90s that had interesting dilemmas. I think the 90s were probably the most creative decade. If we're just talking strictly action, I think it was one of the most creative decades in that genre, and the fact that a lot of people were trying to come up with, I think after the success of Die Hard, people were trying to come up with more specific situations than a cops versus robbers kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I liked the movies that have a dilemma that is a little unique or that has kind of a playfulness to it and fun. I've never been able to like define this, but there are certain movies that talk down to the audience. There are movies that like intentionally dumb themselves down.
Give us an example.
The Underworlds, Resident Evil.
Okay.
If we're talking like specifically action, Like, I don't know. I can't think of any because I hate them so much.
I know what you're. I know what you're saying. It's almost as if they don't think the audience will get it, so they blatantly spell it out for you.
Yes, or they're afraid to have someone say anything clever or have something too subtle or too complicated happen because it might alienate, I don't know, the 13-year-olds that they're going for or the morons, whatever it is.
So the movies can't be obviously dumb. Or there's got to be something clever about them.
Yeah, maybe something a little clever about either the situation or the dialogue or the relationships in it. And I feel that is a through line through all of the movies that I chose. That there's something creative about it.
All right. Well, what do you give us an example of one of these clever action movies?
Well, okay. Example of a clever action movie or a clever
Something that you feel as though is a prime example of what you've just.
Well, why don't you give us something on your list and what made it?
Yeah, that's. I'm looking at the list right now. And
just give us a random one.
Con Air.
Well, yeah. I don't think that. You know, okay, that is. Con Air wasn't on my list. I didn't put it on because I knew it wasn't going to end up in the top five, even though I enjoy that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a movie where they. That is a very unique situation that you don't have in any other movie that I could think of. And it's not like Con Air was a, like, genius, clever movie, you know, like chess pieces being moved between a genius villain and a genius hero or anything. But it was a unique situation that they, much like Die Hard, which I measure all other action movies against, they milked the situation for all it's worth. They took the time to show us the villains having to make their plan work, the dilemma of having the prisoner exchange that they were due for in Arizona or wherever it was, you know, the scene where they had to dress up some of the cops like prisoners and vice versa,
yeah,
et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other movies, a dumber movie might have just glossed over that with a line like, just, oh, we don't have to do that for such and such reason. The movie that makes you go through the situation like that and makes good use of it, I really like that.
So you're basically saying something that's a little bit more thought out than just, all right, well, we're going to have this, and then there's a huge gun battle, and then this happens, but, like, maybe he gets shot, but we don't, he doesn't see any ill effects of it or something like that. Like, you like things that are more planned out, more thought out.
Yeah, and along those lines, the movie I was going to bring up before you mentioned Con Air was Speed, and where everyone up until that time was just trying to replicate Die Hard. And even though people could still classify Speed as Die Hard on a bus, mm-hmm. the genius of that movie, again, was having that dilemma of it not being able to slow down and setting it in Los Angeles during rush hour. That makes for such a tense situation, and they milked everything that they could. They used every bit of that situation to make a good action movie. And might I mention that our boy Joss Whedon ghost wrote on that movie.
Yeah, he did.
Did he really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well,
Joss.
Just goes to show you.
Mm. Speed is awesome.
It is a fun movie. If you don't mind me jumping in.
Go for it. Oh, real quickly, before you get to your point. I definitely read this at some point, but yeah, I know weren't all 90s movies, all 90s action movies basically called, didn't they all try to use the tagline, it's Die Hard on?
Yes. Right, that's how, like, they were trying to pitch the movie, and, you know, we'll just put Die Hard on any other situation.
Right. All right, go ahead, Cranks.
Well, it definitely changed action films for the better, I would say. What do you think these films were trying to capture with Die Hard on a bus or Die Hard on a plane, you know? What is it about Die Hard that they were trying to replicate?
At that point, I think I would say the marketing people would do that to try to get the audience that Die Hard did successfully got by doing what differently? I'm not exactly sure. I guess maybe another level of characterization? I mean, but I mean, it was the
situation. Yeah. I mean, Die Hard was extremely successful. I think that's the main reason why people were trying to do that. But it was the catalyst for a new type of action movie because it was so unique. It's so simple, but no one had ever thought of just contained situation, one guy versus many. And the way that movie wasn't afraid to keep the action in one place.
Yeah.
That wasn't really happening before that movie.
I mean, that's what I would take out of Die Hard as well, is that, you know, the tension is clearly ramped up, and the reason why it's so tense is because it's such an insular event.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with Speed, you have other things going on outside of the bus, but for the most part, everything that you care about that's really intense is on the inside of the bus. So it's kind of like having these incidents happen in a very enclosed space that can be manipulated by the good guys and the bad guys that allows you to have tension, as opposed to, you know, nowadays, maybe not nowadays, but, you know, having, like, something happen in Brazil and then, like, something else happen in London later in the movie or something like that, you know? Whereas you get more tension from this one specific situation happening in this one spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me personally, the takeaway that I get from Die Hard that really speaks to me is the way that they create a... They turn this cop, the hero of the movie, into a human person that you can relate to. Mm. Like, just him not having his shoes is like one of the coolest things. That it seems so simple, you know, like glass on the floor when he has to like go across it, and you know that he's getting hurt the entire time, that he's not invincible. It's a much more human aspect to a character that lets you relate to them. And when action films are all just about emotion, because it's just like quick, crazy, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Just like exciting, you know, yeah. you just feel it. You don't really like,
yeah,
I guess
it's supposed to be a visceral thing as opposed
So when you can feel it on a human level, it makes it a little bit more satisfying for me,
and
at least.
Die Hard wasn't the first movie to do this, but it was one of the first of that era to start having the hero move back towards more of a vulnerable, fallible person. Where, as you know, the 80s, I think, were kind of dominated by Stallone and Schwarzenegger-type action movies, where it's just biggest man as possible, can't be stopped, like he is a machine, or sometimes he is literally a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were kind of moved us into the 90s of having all these heroes that could get hurt and did make mistakes and got really hurt, actually, most of the time.
Yeah. And you know what? If I can bring it back to Terminator 2, which I actually, it has sci-fi elements. It is a science fiction action film. I think of it as an action film first, mm-hmm. only because of the way that Cameron plays with that genre. Like the idea that we know as an audience that Schwarzenegger is this action hero that goes around and kills hundreds of people in his movies. And all of a sudden in Terminator 2, we have a kid putting rules on him saying, don't kill anybody. So now all these people that he's taking out, mm-hmm. he's just
shooting
injuring.
The kneecap.
and it's like, it becomes a joke of not just the film, but of action faux pas, you know?
That's so true. And the just more generally about Terminator 2, two movies that ended up, of movies that I was listing in the 90s, that I love, Die Hard with a Vengeance and Terminator 2, they are, to me, the perfect example of what you do with the sequel. Because let's not forget Terminator 2 is a sequel, obviously, and that's not always an easy thing to make good. And both of those movies, Vengeance and Terminator 2, they came up with a really good story to make it feel like it was related to the first movie, but it was different. And in Terminator 2, just having the fact that they brought Schwarzenegger in as the good guy this time it's a simple thing, but it really changed the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They could have just had him like, oh, he's back again. Just like, you know, Jason or Freddy.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, now he's fighting for them. And Cameron, just he's always in command of his movies as a director. And I think he played that really well, all the scenes of the kind of like surprise of, okay, now Schwarzenegger is a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
So there.
I would
agree with what you guys are saying, definitely. What about James Cameron directed another sequel? It's not in our 90s time scope, but he was the director of Aliens in 1986, which I think everyone would say that's definitely an action movie, right?
Yeah.
Not a sci-fi movie.
It is. You know, I've discussed this at length because some people I know call it a war film. Other people will just qualify it as a sci-fi, while others call it action. I would say it's an action, but I'd also say that the first movie is more of a sci-fi horror than anything, too. So there's
definitely
you get this evolution in those sequels, which is very rare. You bring up, that's another film that's action sci-fi.
I agree, and I've heard people mention that before, that some people consider it a war movie, and I think that that's just flat out wrong. I think that's kind of a superficial take from that movie. I mean, there's a team of soldiers in it, but I would never call The Rock a war movie, and I think it is almost the exact same thing, because you have a team that comes in
going against another team, so to speak.
Yeah, they're all taken out, and the two unlikely heroes are the stars and survivors of that film. And it's the same scenario, and on no planet would you call The Rock a war movie.
Did The Rock use that? Did The Rock use one of their taglines as where it's aliens on The Rock?
It's not. Aliens without aliens?
Yeah.
And with more Sean Connery. Oh, yeah. I love it. Brilliant. You bring up an interesting point with war movies and action movies. I mean, really, is there really a difference? I mean, maybe the biggest difference is just that war movies aren't meant to glorify the action sequences, while the action movies clearly do.
I might say the scope of it, too.
Yes, I agree. And I also think that it really just depends on the story of a war movie, because a lot of war movies are not action films, but a lot of them are. U-571 is an action movie, but it's also a World War II movie.
Mm-hmm. What about Hunt for Red October?
Well, I wouldn't call that a war movie because it's not really a war. I mean, I guess kind of a cold war.
You just mentioned a submarine movie, and I thought of
Hunt. Yeah, I would call Hunt for Red October an awesome submarine thriller.
I mean,
action movie?
No.
No.
Not quite.
I mean, you think, because, Alan, you seem to be, you know, you're harking on this whole specific situation thing, and I'd say, I mean, war movies are clearly a very specific situation. You know, there's a war going on, which until recently usually didn't happen too often, I suppose.
Right, and what I'm saying is that it depends on what story they're telling, because like we mentioned earlier in the podcast, Saving Private Ryan, I would really not consider an action movie because of the story being told and the tone of the story that's being told, despite there being numerous action sequences in that movie. Whereas something like U-571, none of the clashes in the movie are meant to be hard to watch or horrifying. They're all Matthew McConaughey shooting his way through Nazis and explosions, and it's an action.
Nazis is key.
How about something like Platoon or something like that?
Platoon is definitely a war film.
Definitely war, and then I don't really remember there being titillation in that.
Okay.
I hate that fucking word.
Okay.
I don't remember Platoon that well. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I feel like there was a lot of horror in that in that film. Like, we're not supposed to like the way that these, even if some of the characters had that mindset, we are supposed to disagree with them.
I agree. I think Platoon was kind of like an Apocalypse Now type story where you were supposed, it was showing you the meaninglessness and the horror and the strange brutality of these wars.
The horror.
The horror.
Oh, the horror. All right, fair enough. I just wanted to bring up war movies because clearly there are multiple war movies with intense action scenes. So.
Yeah.
I want to bring up another genre, though, going back to the whole specific situation thing. How about disaster movies? There were a large amount in the 90s, you know, between Twister, Volcano, and like Armageddon.
Are there any, can you name any disaster movies that aren't action movies, or is it strictly a subgenre of action? I guess it would be my first thing.
Ooh, that's a really good question.
Because it's not like, I mean, because, you know, action movies, when you think of action movies, you usually think of bad guys and good guys, whereas disaster movies are kind of just, there's good guys, and then the bad guy is, you know, the disaster, you know?
Yeah. Even when sometimes there are bad guys in those movies, yeah, it's still the main antagonist is, you know, nature or some kind. I don't know if I would classify those as action movies. I'm thinking of Volcano and...
Dante's Peak.
And Dante's Peak. I don't know. I don't know how you classify that.
I mean, because clearly it's all about, those movies are all about tension and the building of tension and, like, especially Volcano, where it's like, you know, they find the lava and then no one listens to them and then the lava ends up spouting out all over L.A. You know, it's all about... I hate to
use any amount of sci-fi movies here since we've already done it, but like, what about Armageddon and The Core, if you've ever seen The Core? I don't think The Core involves any sci-fi, I mean, other than the name thing, obviously, but at least it's not like a meteorite or anything.
Well, I think you got to bring it back to what Bags was saying about war movies being horrific versus the playfulness of the violence in action films. Mm-hmm. This is also seen as horrific, but it's like humanistic. It's about humanity coming together to overcome whatever they're facing, mm-hmm. usually.
So yeah, is it more about the survival of humanity or the big wave crashing on land? Is that kind of what we're getting at?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know of any disaster movies that really play up the tragedy of it too much. It's more of a drama than anything else. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Or have you guys seen Melancholia?
Yes.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Let's not have another podcast about Melancholia.
You guys had one already. I haven't seen it, but I get the sense that that one's a disaster film that's more of a tragedy than just a drama.
So that is indeed something other than a disaster movie.
I haven't seen it, so I won't.
I guess one example of a disaster movie, going back to James Cameron, I guess we could kind of say Titanic was one where nothing was, it wasn't about the fun of the situation at all, compared to like Twister.
I thought the same thing. I thought immediately of Titanic and what's the one where George Clooney's a Gloucesterman and they're on a boat?
The Perfect Storm.
Perfect Storm, yeah, Perfect Storm.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Titanic and Perfect Storm, I would say, are different action movies than Volcano and Twister are.
They are both.
That's what I'm saying.
It's water instead of lava. It's the same thing. It's water instead of lava, right?
No. No.
No.
Well, what I was saying is that I think that there is a difference because, well, I've only seen Volcano once, and I sincerely doubt I will see it ever again for any reason.
Anne Heche, the star power of Anne Heche.
Has never been said before by a human being. Twister, I'm more familiar with. That is about the fun of their job. We're chasing tornadoes, and it's okay if you get caught in a tornado if you have a belt and a strong pipe. And it's funny. There are cows flying around, and
Philip Seymour Hoffman's in it.
Yeah. If you want to, if you lose your truck, you know, the funny, where's my truck? And then it falls
down. It
comes
flying in front of your face. Yeah.
Titanic is different because the disaster isn't funny. There isn't any point that the sinking of the ship is a source of fun or comedy. It's really about the slow horror. That movie is kind of like the scene in Saving Private Ryan where the guy is slowly getting stabbed in the heart. It's like just the slow torture and tragedy of the situation and not about an exciting summer blockbuster.
Like 2012. Like, yeah. like them flying the plane and things falling apart around them and stuff like that. Like, that's good fun.
The limo speeding through Los Angeles.
Cracking apart, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
I think Titanic was even more than that, though. It's an amalgamation of several different genres. There's action elements to it, romance, and disaster.
Yeah.
It's everything.
Yeah, but the point I was making is that I would never consider that an action movie of any kind because the scenario is not... Much like, again, to go back to Saving Private Ryan, I don't think that it's ever meant to excite you.
So, I mean, basically what we seem to be saying here is that, like, it really just depends on what the movie is about, if you will. Basically, action movies seem to be about just a pure spectacle of the action, whereas... maybe not so much in science fiction, but at least in disaster and war movies, usually they're not about like how awesome, you know, the action scenes that happen. They're more about how horrible the war is or how we all band together or, you know, how we survive or whatever, you know, something along those lines.
Well, you know what? For the purpose of what we're doing, maybe we don't need to go by what a film scholar would call an action movie or a sci-fi movie. What if we make our own definition of something simple as our 90s movies that are about good guys versus bad guys? And that's what the movie is about, and not like what happens to the good guy's inner soul while they're going up against bad guys that we don't see, like a war movie or something.
Yeah.
Did I just kill
somebody? We're clearly just trying to flesh out. Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of us are pretending to be grandiose film scholars here trying to take into account everything that's ever been written.
I'm pretending.
Well, at least that's one of us. Clearly we don't have Mr. Will Templin here to write us, to write our ship.
But what I'm saying is that I think that we could go by a certain standard that we come up with here not, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we pretty much just did. What Bag summed up as if it's predominantly this fun violence, for lack of a better term, it's action. Right? Am I missing anything?
Yeah, I would think so.
That's a really disappointing conclusion.
I'm glad it took us an hour to figure that out.
Yeah.
Yes.
We like fun movies.
I mean, yeah. To me, yeah, it just seems like what we've been talking about is just what the intention of the movie is supposed to be, whether it's just supposed to be our awe and pleasure from the spectacle of what's going on, or if we're actually supposed to get something else from it as opposed to just being like, oh wow, that D-Day scene in Saving Private Ryan was fucking awesome, you know. That's usually not what people who have seen Saving Private Ryan are going to say that the movie was about, at least.
I feel like some people do that, but you're right, that's not the intent.
Yeah.
Has everyone, I know that you guys talked about like about what we said makes a good action movie. I know I said my piece about the creativity of the situation, and you guys talked about, like, you know, something that you could pay attention to that's not like a meaningless story. Did everyone get a chance to say what they thought a good action movie comprised of?
I feel like Krang's has been rather silent over there.
I'm just soaking it all in, man.
Yeah, under your blanket?
Under my blanket. It's really hot in this apartment. No, I don't know. I feel like I'm just talking this out. I feel like we all agree generally on what an action film is, or at least I get the sense that Bags and Alan P do. Shrum, I'm not sure where you stand. You don't like to think, I guess. Is my takeaway of your action film breakdown?
No.
Jimmy
no.
TV just hates thinking.
Well, no. Well, it's actually funny that you say that, because I'm definitely along the same lines as Alan. I don't want to be talked down to. I don't. You know, even though I'm shutting my brain off, that doesn't mean I'm just going to sit back and watch a piece of shit by any. You know.
Oh, I can't. I have an example of kind of what I'm talking about. The Transformers movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a movie where it's so obvious that the director is thinking, I don't give a shit what you think. Like, here's this big spectacle, and what happens in between can just be goofy. The story doesn't have to make sense. I'll have these scenes that have nothing to do with the rest of the story. It doesn't matter, because it's all about the eye candy. It's just about the fun. Mm-hmm. I hate that shit so much.
Okay.
So that's an example of what I mean about a movie that's talking down to you.
That is with these frivolous scenes that don't have anything to do with driving the plot.
Yeah. And the movie that is, if you took away the action sequences, these scenes in between are, they're aimless and they're dumb, and they don't completely make sense.
But you're Shia LaBeouf.
Exactly.
You just wanted to say that.
I did.
Who doesn't want to say that? But that's what I mean. It's like he doesn't want. It's like he thinks if there's something clever in it, that people might like get upset, or they may not take their kids to it. Or I don't know what goes through his head.
Well, I mean, I think what goes through Michael Bay's head, at least recently, is just, he doesn't care.
Exactly.
At all what's going on that doesn't include explosions.
He doesn't.
So he's just worried about awesome explosions. I mean, that's all. I mean, I suppose he tried to make his movies about something with The Island, if anyone remembers that cinematic marvel.
I do remember that.
But I do as well.
No one, I mean, that was like his, no one went to go see that. I think that was probably one of his least grossing movies, if not the least. So, I mean, I feel like since then, he's basically been like, fuck it, I'm not going to try anything anymore. I'm just going to give all these awesome explosions. And whatever happens in between, no one cares about anyway, so.
Is that true? Do you think that's his lowest grossing?
I mean, what else is he, I mean, it's gotta be, right? I remember I remember no one went.
Did that movie not do well? I don't really.
It did really poorly.
Yeah. I'm not, that's something I don't usually pay attention to, but I think you might be right about that. It's just,
I really liked The Island. I finally just figured out which movie The Island was. I really enjoyed that movie.
Well, that's the thing. I enjoyed that movie more than his three, like, I think least popular movies are my favorite of his, because those were the ones where there's actually something to sort of pay attention to at the very least. And the movies where you might have to think for a moment, and not saying that any of these movies are like, you know, masterpieces, except The Rock. But
what's the third one? Bad Boys?
The first Bad Boys.
Just curious.
And that's a perfect example of them. If you ever watch Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2 back to back, it is, they're two different directors. You see a director who does not give a shit anymore about the story of his movies.
Oh, I mean, that's interesting, considering Bad Boys, I mean, Bad Boys 2 is relatively early in his career. I mean, it's only his fifth movie, it looks like. So,
I think, he hasn't made that many movies, but he had made one before. He you know, done Pearl Harbor and Armageddon and The Rock. Like, he was very capable of making a movie that's not stupid.
Did you just list Pearl Harbor as something?
No. I'm listing the movies that he made before.
Okay.
He's not some junior director with his first big budget movie. I'm saying he'd made massive scale movies already, and he'd already made at least two movies that I like and that were funny and actually had an ongoing story outside of their action sequences. And I'm referring to Bad Boys and The Rock. So it's clear that it wasn't just like I don't know what to do with Bad Boys 2. He just didn't care what happened.
I mean, it seems to me that Armageddon really fucked him up. Maybe once he became like an established name, he was just like, all right, well, now I'm just going to focus on what I really wanted to focus on in the first place, which is, you know, awesome action films, as opposed to having movies that actually have plots that make sense.
Well, also, I read a article after he made, I want to say it was Transformers 2, where he said he was going to take a break to work on his passion project, and the passion project was a Victoria's Secret commercial. Which speaks a lot to his character. I mean, he's in it for the spectacle, you know? And, I mean, you can't blame him for wanting to shoot a bunch of lingerie models. But, you know, this is Michael Bay. We don't have to overcomplicate the guy.
Exactly.
True that.
That's very true. But, yeah, no, I would say for me, I mean, yeah, The Rock and The Island. I mean, I liked The Island myself. I thought it was, I mean, it wasn't anything great. It was just, you know, it was just a science fiction take on The Lottery, the short story of The Lottery.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I enjoyed it myself. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was one of his better movies, at least.
So. It is.
And it had Scarlett Johansson in it, which is always a plus.
Yeah. Steve Buscemi as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And Jimon Hunsu.
Oh, Jimon, my man.
Don't you mean Digimon Hutsununusu?
Is that how you pronounce his last name?
I'm pretty sure.
Then, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Do we? I mean, I think this podcast has basically run its course here.
Now let's run it into the ground like a Michael Bay sequel.
Yes. Do we have anything else that we really want to, any other salient points that we want to bring up here?
At some point during the conversation, I had to look up a movie to see if it was in the 90s or not. I have to think about it possibly being in my top five action movies.
Mm-hmm.
That movie was Tremors. What do you have to say about that?
I haven't seen it, so.
You've never seen Tremors?
No.
I don't think you can get on someone's back for not having seen Tremors.
Really? I can't?
No, I mean, I don't think that that's like a watershed movie
of
anything.
Yeah, it's not like a canonical movie that everyone needs to see.
But I also wouldn't qualify that as an action film. It's a monster film, if anything.
A horror movie?
Ooh, monster film. Okay.
Which is another genre. I mean, genres are mixed every day, which is,
right.
I think
that's more what I was wondering is if you would quantify it as something other than an action movie.
Oh.
Monster movie's pretty good.
I used to watch Tremors 2 a lot. I enjoyed that one.
Tremors 2 isn't bad, but I think there's like four now. They definitely get worse. But Kevin Bacon was just so spot on in the first one.
Was it meaty rule? I don't remember the first Tremors as well as the second one, as I said, because I saw the second one more.
It was all just great fun.
I'm pretty sure it was just them not standing on the ground. Have you ever played Hot Lava?
Yeah,
that's exactly what it was.
That was the pitch. That was the entire pitch of the movie, was Hot Lava the movie.
Hot Lava in the middle of a desert on really shoddy built buildings.
It must have been a Hasbro movie.
I think the game came after it.
Oh, I see a remake coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I just can't wait until the Monopoly movie myself.
So are we thinking Battleship's an action movie?
I don't give a shit what Battleship is.
You're not going to see Battleship?
I mean, I'm going to see it, but after seeing The Avengers, I don't know if I'm going to be able to tolerate a movie like Battleship.
Well, I hope your expectation is a lot lower than The Avengers.
Maybe. I don't know. Just, man, that looks awful. I don't know. You know what? It looks bad, but it could be.
No, it's going to be bad.
What about this recent, like, huge influx of comic book movies that have a lot of action elements?
Yeah, I mean, like, that would be the newest, maybe not the newest, but, like, the most popular subgenre or genre, if you will, where the comic book movies are clearly established properties that many people at least know about, if not many people love. And, I mean,
Are we talking about this like this is new?
No, but the popularity of comic book movies has, I mean, basically every movie, every third, fourth movie maybe, comes out in the summer is going to be a comic book movie. That has at least action movie that comes out is going to be a comic book movie, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they've been popular, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
since about... What, Spider-Man came out? Is that what we're saying?
I mean, the 2001. 70s Supermans did really well. Batman did extremely well at the box office.
I think what Jake is trying to say, though, is that you didn't have, like, as many comic... Like, I mean, you had Superman and Batman, which are probably arguably the two biggest comic book franchises out there that did well. But, I mean, you didn't see, like... four different superheroes come out with a movie in 1 year until, like, recently, you know?
Like that movie with Ryan Reynolds. What fucking movie was that?
Green Lantern.
No, not Green Lantern. That other one that he, like, the other semi-comic book movie that he did.
Deadshot, Wolverine?
Yeah, he was in Wolverine.
He's in Wolverine.
He was to get his own spinoff from that.
As Dead Aim or whatever the hell you said. And he still probably is, right?
That's a good question. I don't know. But the movie you should have been talking about in that way is Green Lantern. It was not good by any stretch.
I think there's been far worse than Green Lantern.
Deadpool is coming out, by the way.
It is. It is?
2014.
Oh, Lord. The reason I brought this up is because I think we've been avoiding a really big trend in if this is action films, the comic book film, which is now, like, huge.
What is going to become the new action movie?
Basically. I don't know if it's the... Oh, I mean, maybe. That's what I'm asking. Is this... You guys clearly didn't even think about it, and you consider these action. It's like, you don't even have to think about it.
Well...
No, see, I always... I mean, to me, comic book movies are just like comic book movies. I think that for the most part, they are just action movies at heart with a huge history built up before them of established characters. But I mean, at the heart of them, they are just action movies. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know if I can think of an action movie that I saw that was literally just supposed to be action that I saw in the theaters that wasn't a comic book movie in the past, like, 4 years. Or that I've wanted to see. Like, something that they just build as an action movie that didn't involve some sort of comic book character in it.
Taken?
I mean, I didn't see that in the theaters.
Didn't that come out in the last 4 years?
It did.
Yeah, probably.
It did.
Every spinoff that Liam Neeson's done after that has come out in the last one movies.
Yeah, but these aren't movies that I want to go see.
You want to see Taken.
Taken's good.
I saw it on, like, the DVD, but I wasn't, like, I saw the trailer and I was like, damn, I need to go see this shit.
You weren't really excited to go see The Gray Taken with Wolves?
No. I wasn't. I'm not really excited to go
see
Taken
by Wolves.
I'm not really excited to see Battleship, which is The Gray with battleships. So
I don't know where you're going with that one.
There are battleships hunting Liam.
That one wasn't even close.
Listen, I agree with the bagman that comic books you generally just classify as their own specific thing. They're definitely a type of action movie, but you know, we weren't talking about martial arts movies either, and there were a ton of those, you know, that we could have looked for that just like their kind of own specific genre. I think that we were looking for sort of the mainstream of what we were thinking of as the defining type of action movie of the 90s.
Right. And that was, you know what, that I think we expanded it to more than just the 90s, haven't we?
Expanded what, our lists?
What we think of as an action film. Because at first we were just trying to grasp what an action film is. And you bring up a good point. I hadn't even considered martial arts movies.
No, but what I was answering your question of why I don't think of comic books on this list. Because, yeah, they're undoubtedly action. But I also think of them as their own thing the same way that I think of martial arts movies.
I mean, if you want to go into it, I mean, comic book movies, people are going to comic book movies not so much. I mean, they're going because, you know, they think there's going to be cool action. But most of the main reason they're going is probably because they're going to go see the comic book hero on screen. You know, whereas with action movies, your main goal in mind to an action movie is just to see, like, some awesome action, you know. So, I mean, comic book movies are just an interesting thing because, like I said, because they have all this built-up history with the characters and stuff, it's a weird genre to think of because it is, I mean, they are action movies, but then you have this whole baggage that you go into it with, you know?
Yeah, but that doesn't make it any less of a film or of what, you know, what the elements that go into it make it. Because Spider-Man and Iron Man, although they're big household names now, I don't think everybody thought of those characters before they became these huge tentpole films.
Spider-Man? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Even, I mean, I think
I would say Spider-Man definitely
was. I would think Spider-Man was probably the most popular superhero behind Batman and Superman.
It very well could have been. I mean, the X-Men were big in cartoons as well, but there are a lot of people that weren't exposed to superheroes as much as, say, us. Because we are clearly... You don't think so?
I'm not even saying that. I'm saying that I think that Spider-Man was as much of a household name as Batman and Superman, and was probably, probably the third most popular superhero. Everyone's heard of Spider-Man.
Well, now, of course, I'm just trying to think. I can't find a way to put myself in a mindset before the first Sony Spider-Man movie came out with Tobey Maguire. And I certainly was a big fan. I read the comic books. I watched the cartoon. But I don't think – yeah, maybe everybody knew him. You're right. It's probably the biggest Marvel superhero.
He had two – I think actually three different cartoons. The comic books sold very well. He had a live-action TV show, which I used to have on VHS.
Mm-hmm. And no, wait, there was a live-action?
Yeah,
it was awful.
I did not know that.
I mean, you couldn't show him. That was the thing. And I think that's the only reason that – that's the other thing, is that it's just no one knew how to show these things on screen for a while. And that's why, you know, the better the technology is getting now, we pretty much – have the effects to show any superhero. But, you know, they tried to make a Fantastic Four movie in, what was it, like the 90s or late 80s, that was complete shit because they had to make the movie before they lost the rights. And, you know, they couldn't show it anything. Mm-hmm. It would have looked awful.
Well, yeah. I mean, maybe the question regarding comic book movies should be how action movies have changed since 9/11, because before, I mean, we did have a few comic book movies before 9/11, of course, mainly Superman and Batman, at least franchises. But now, I mean, since 9/11, we've had this sort of whole collective unconscious sort of thing where Hollywood is trying to tap into a world savior that's, you know, he's trying to save us all from the terrors outside that we don't know about. So, I mean, maybe that's just the reason why now comic book movies are so popular, because unless someone with superpowers comes to the forefront to save us, we don't actually think, maybe the audience, or Hollywood at least, doesn't think that normal people will be able to do the same thing. I don't know.
I don't know how much September 11th has had to do with the trend of superhero movies. The first X-Men was before September 11th, and I think it was the popularity of that movie that kind of started the snowball of Marvel making more and more movies, expanding their universe. But I would definitely agree that 9/11 changed our action movies. You know, it's kind of sad to say, but the United States, I don't want to have a conversation about September 11th, but like, you know.
Never.
I think we were a little ignorant about the outside world before September 11th, and it allowed us to make movies that were a little bit more altruistic in the sense of, like, there's the good guys and the bad guys, and usually your bad guys, I mean, not always, but a lot of your bad guys pre-9/11 were just that general, like, I'm evil because I'm evil, or I'm evil because I want to take over the world kind of bad guys. Whereas now it's usually like they believe so much in their cause, or they think that they're in the right. And most action movies have to have some sort of message, either about like some sort of 9/11 allegory in their movies that we didn't really have before then. Mm-hmm. For the most part. Of course, there are exceptions. But
yeah,
I just keep coming back to this Daily Show highlight reel of terrorists in American films. That there's it, I'll have to find it. It's really funny. But it's, we've been depicting that character in Hollywood for a really long time.
Which character?
The character of a terrorist that's, yeah, that's, yeah, usually Muslim and very close-minded depiction of who these guys are.
But that's the thing.
Fanatical.
That's the thing that makes me laugh is that before September 11th, a lot of times our terrorists were European guys with ponytails and high collars.
Die Hard, that guy was a terrorist, the main bad guy in that, correct?
Well, actually, if you really want to get down to it,
okay,
only in Die Hard, of the only three Die Hard movies they've made, really only in Die Hard 2 were they actually terrorists.
Okay.
But even still, yeah, that the way those guys looked in Die Hard, that's what terrorists were to us. And, you know, Passenger 57.
Dennis Hopper was a terrorist in Speed, correct?
Was he? I mean, he just wanted money. Yeah. But I guess he did kind of have a point.
He was causing terror.
That doesn't make you a terrorist. I don't know. I don't really think I would call him a terrorist. I mean, he had a point to make, but that wasn't why he was doing what he was doing. He was doing what he did because he wanted to retire, and he had this, and he was insane.
Mm-hmm. All right, fair enough.
Right? I was thinking of Executive Decision. Have you guys ever seen that film?
Oh, yeah.
Oh no, what is that?
Well, I don't know. That's like the first, that's always the first movie that comes to my head of just quintessential, you know, Muslim bad guys, and they're these bad guys. It's because I guess I took this out of context, but there was a movie that came out a couple of years ago where Billy Zane and I want to say Gary Busey played terrorists in an Arabic made film somewhere in the Middle East, and everybody was pissed
off. Oh, the Sorcerer's Apprentice, right?
Were they in
that? Neither. No.
Of them. Neither of them.
I didn't see it. I can't even get the reference.
There's no reference. It was on the IMDb page, and so I went for it.
Nice.
Okay. Well, I don't know. You get my point. We all know that there's been a lot of, you know, even going back to 94 to True Lies.
Yeah. But, you know, if that's exactly what I'm talking about, that in Executive Decision and True Lies, when I saw those movies, I was uncomfortable because I was like, who are these guys? Like, they seem to have a legitimate beef with the United States and not just like, we want money. And I remember being made uncomfortable about that because I didn't like, that was my first exposure to the idea of Middle Eastern terrorists who didn't want money. They didn't even care about their own lives. They just wanted to hurt us.
Yeah.
True Lies is awesome.
True Lies is awesome.
Excellent.
Jay Skies, keeping us grounded.
Just trying to chip in.
He's chipping in right there.
He's absolutely correct. True Lies was on my list as well.
All right. I think we're going to end this. Yeah, you guys should definitely, clearly we've been talking about lists, just in case you need a reminder, we will be posting our top five action movie lists, sometime either, probably.
We can try to do this like one a day or something?
I think
we can do
might
them all on Wednesday?
Yeah, we might all just do it on Wednesday and then.
Blitzkrieg?
Yes, exactly. So something along those lines. I haven't decided exactly quite how we're doing it, but you'll get them all this week. To say the least, our top five action movies of just the 90s, even though we've been trying to cater the discussion just for the 90s, but clearly we've gone out of that decade on some of our examples.
Just genre. Just
for better understanding of where our movies came from, though.
Yeah.
There was
and
reason.
So I want to like be clear that I'm making my list of my five favorite movies of action movies of the 90s, and not necessarily what I think are the five best action movies of the 90s.
I think that's safe to say with everybody's list, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should go around the horn saying what it is that that we think of in terms of our favorites. Not the names of the movies, but what qualifies as the best for us, so we can like better read the lists of each person with that understanding of what makes a good action film for each person.
We'll just end up doing that in the post. You'll have a nice little introductory paragraph on
I just want to bullet point it
on this list. You will not receive your bullet points, all right? But I think this podcast has gone on for far too long, so that's why we're cutting it off right now. Come by the website, in-the-bagwith2gs.com. These lists should be up probably Wednesday. There will be copious amounts of other content that you can come and click on. Hopefully we'll get a delightful little TV column from our boy Jimmy TV over there. And
wait, what?
And hopefully Jake will finally put together a May trailer article, which would be nice.
There have been some good ones.
Yes. But in any case, come by the website, in-the-bagwith2gs.com.
It was bag with 4 G's on this podcast.
Holla.
Shoot me.
Yep. Alan's jokes have been off all night. In any case, we'll talk to you guys later.
On tomorrow.
Alan, for the record, I liked your joke.
Thank you.